Welcome in. It is the Thursday edition of the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Jumping right into it with the NBA playoffs. The Knicks take care of the Pacers. They have a 2-0 lead in that series. Final score last night's game, 130-121. We keep talking about it with the Knicks. They lost this player. That's going to be tough on them. They lost that player. That's going to be tough on them. And they just keep winning by even bigger margins each game that goes by. So injuries not really seeming to be a problem for the Knicks so far. Pacers, though, they saw some plays that they thought were a little controversial. They've submitted 78 plays to the NBA league offices on calls that they either felt weren't made or were made that shouldn't have been made. So the Pacers, kind of so far through this first two-game series, thinking I might be a little home cooking there in the garden for the Knicks. I don't know about. I don't know if I would go that far, but they sent, again, 78 plays off to the NBA league offices to get checked out. They should have sent off a lot of Jalen Brunson's plays in the second half. Not because they were questionable, just because the guy was on fire in the second half. And the fact that he was doing that after having a leg injury that took him out of the game and into the locker room for a little while, that's incredible. I mean, yeah, he leaves the game out a little bit in the locker room, getting checked out, I guess gets the all clear in the locker room, or you know what? It's the postseason. If you don't necessarily get the all clear, you're like, I don't care. It's the postseason. We're playing for a championship. I'm going to go play anyways. I'll go get surgery or something like that after we win a championship, but I'm playing now. But yeah, he comes back in the game. And look, the Knicks kind of celebrating Willis Reed doing the same thing 54 years ago and Jalen Brunson doing it again and coming out. And like I said, 24 of his 29 points came in the second half. The guy leaves the game with 5 points and comes back and just absolutely dominates. I don't know. Bugs Bunny must have been in there with that special drink from Space Jam, right, that he gave the Toon Squad at halftime during Space Jam. You remember that? Am I showing my age there? I'm a 90s baby, so I might be showing my age. Younger kids listening might be going, I don't remember that in the LeBron James version. No, that's because it was in the good one. It was in the good version of those movies. But he gives them that drink, and suddenly they play really well. Jalen Brunson must have got a hold of like a six-pack of that when he was in the locker room because he came out man on fire. And because of that, again, Knicks win 130-121. Indiana definitely got to regroup. I think the good thing for them, the next two games on Friday night and on Sunday are going to be in Indiana. So they're going to get a chance to have home court advantage. They're going to go have an opportunity to win two at home, tie this series up. But the way the Knicks are playing right now, I mean, we saw it in what game six of the series against Philly. They went into Philly, dominated, closed that series out. So home or the road, it doesn't really matter right now. The Knicks are playing really good basketball. So tough task ahead of Indiana, if you ask me. In the NHL, Florida, the Panthers avenged that 5-1 loss they had the other night to the Bruins. Talked about in that game, talked about how Boston got theirs, Florida was going to find a way to get theirs, right? It's going to be a back and forth. I said I expect this series to go 6, maybe even 7 games. That Boston had that success in game 1. Watch out, because the Panthers are going to be able to bounce back, and they definitely did that. 6-1, the final score in this game. Alexander Barkov, young man, have yourself a game. 2 goals, 1 goal short of a hat trick, and 2 assists. So that the 2-for-2 right there with 2 goals and 2 assists for him. Game was a little chippy, got a little chippy. It was 6-1 with a little bit left in the third period. Nice little fight there on the ice, nice little skirmish. A couple of guys saying, hey, how's your mom and them doing? And it was fun. I love that when that happens in hockey games. It adds to it. It's always nice to have a little tension, especially in the postseason. I think it just makes it even better. Bob in the net for the Panthers, Sergei Bobrovsky. Did what we expect him to do, right? I said that first game was an anomaly. The fact that he gave up 5 goals to the Boston Bruins was more so what the Bruins were doing than what he was doing, because he doesn't give up 5 goals a lot. And if he gives up 5 goals to you, chances are the next time he sees you, he's going to shut you down. That's exactly what happened in game 2 last night. 14 saves held the Bruins to just the 1 goal. Sam Reinhart had 4 assists. Brandon Montour had a goal and 2 assists. Really a full team effort by the Florida Panthers last night. And great game there, and definitely looking forward to game three of this series because, you know what, now that it's been a blowout for Boston, it's been a blowout for the Panthers, both teams can kind of settle in. I expect it to still remain chippy moving through. And this is right now in the postseason, whether it's NBA or NHL, this series right here between the Bruins and the Panthers, I really do think, honestly and truthfully, right now looking at the Bruins, looking at the Panthers, this is arguably one of the best series in all of the postseasons, whether it's NBA or NHL. This is going to be one of the better series. So keep an eye on this one. Like I said, I think it's going to go six, might even go seven. Hopefully, fingers crossed, Lord willing, it does go seven because, man, it's going to be a fun series to watch, especially with the goalies we got in those two respected teams for that series. The Canucks found themselves down three goals in their opening series of a game against the Oilers, but they battle back, win 5-4. Connor Garland scoring that winning goal there with just about 5.5 minutes left in the third period. Game two for that game going to be coming up Friday in Vancouver, so the Canucks will take on the Oilers, trying to take that 2-0 series lead on Friday night. Staying in hockey, talking about a little new franchise in hockey. Utah, formerly known as the Arizona Coyotes, right? They are they're going to be heading to Utah, and when you're coming up with a new name and a new franchise, you got to find that right mascot, right? So the ownership of the team in Utah released a group of names so that fans could kind of give their opinion on them. I'm going to run through the names real quick, and then we're going to talk about some of them. We're going to start off Frost. Yeah, the Utah Frost or the Utah Ice, Utah Powder. There's so many, like, if you're going to name your team Powder, expect some Scarface jokes from rival teams. I'm just saying, it's going to happen. Utah Mountaineers, okay. The Utah Freeze, Utah Mammoths, Utah Black Diamonds, kind of, you know, a skiing theme there. Utah Blast, Utah Caribou, Utah Blizzard, Utah Swarm, Utah Hive, Utah Outlaws. That's the one I like. We'll circle back to that one coming up in just a little bit. Utah Yeti. I like that one. It's kind of unique. Utah Squall, Utah Fury. Not a bad one. Utah Glaciers. Meh. Utah Canyons and Utah Venom. I like the Outlaws. I don't know. It just has a good ring to it. The Utah Outlaws. I don't know. Maybe because it kind of rhymes a little bit. But I like that one. If you're going to go with something completely new, I would have liked to have seen the Coyotes, the Utah Coyotes. Like, does Utah even, I don't know. I've driven through Utah going to California before on like a family road trip, but I don't have extensive knowledge of the wildlife of Utah. Is there even coyotes in Utah? There might not be. So maybe that's why they didn't do it, but still, it would have been nice of a nice little nod there to the organization that got screwed over by the NHL for this. Yeah. I said what I said. Arizona got screwed over, all right? They should not have taken that team out of Arizona. That was the fan base was feeling it. The team it may not have necessarily been playing well, but, you know, that was still one of the more prouder franchises in the NHL, and they just yanked the rug out from under them and moved them to Utah. So hopefully those Arizona fans will transition over and become Utah fans, and they'll have a nice fan base once they get started with whatever – their name is going to be, but judging from this list, whatever it is, it's not going to be good. I mean, there's not really many good options on this list. I mean, come on, are you going to be scared if you're a Carolina Hurricanes fan and you're going in to take on the Utah Frost? No, you're not going to be scared, but it's not intimidating at all. The Utah Powder. What? No, that is just not, it's not even, I you look down through some of these, the Black Diamonds, I get Utah skiing, I get the connection there, I get the connection with all the different snow references with frost and ice and freeze and powder and blizzard and all of that stuff, I get it, but just because you can connect A to B doesn't mean you should, it's just not. It's not a good sounding name for any of these. Outlaws, I like. The Utah Outlaws. I can see it now. It's just like a cowboy hat with like some mean eyes underneath it and then just like a bandana, right? Just like a bandana covering the mouth. The Utah Outlaws. I can see it, right? I can see it. Maybe their colors are like black and silver. That could be cool. The Utah Yetis. You know, there's not a lot of sports teams that's mascot is the Yetis. It's great potential for a mascot. It really is. It's great. Yetis and Mammoth, great potential for a mascot. So maybe that's why those two might win. But I'm looking at some of these other ones. Frost, Ice, Powder, Mountaineers, Freeze, Mammoth, Black Diamond, Blast, Caribou, Blizzard, Swarm, Hive, Squall, Fury, Glaciers, Canyon, and Venom. Is there, like, if they were to become the Utah Venom, would they have to work out a deal with Marvel? Because technically Marvel owns the name Venom because of the, is he a superhero or is he a villain? Whatever Venom is, Marvel owns the rights to that name. So would they have to kind of get approval from Marvel if they wanted to be the Utah Venom? And then also at the same time, how do you be the Utah Venom and not have a mascot that's going to terrify the little kids in attendance at the games, right? I don't know. There's a lot of these names that are just ridiculous to me. So good luck to whoever's deciding on the name for Utah. You know what? How about this? I just had this thought. Go with a music theme. I know they're going with snow. They're going with all of this stuff. I think, okay, cool. Go with a music theme, right? You've already got the Utah Jazz. Why not stick with kind of a nice little theme there? Have them kind of complement each other. I don't know. Just any other option would be better than the ones they've got here outside of Outlaw and maybe Yeti and Mammoth. Those are the only ones here from this list I go, yes, that's a pretty good name. From one ridiculous thing to another, Colin Cowherd, I look, I'm not the biggest Colin Cowherd guy, all right? I'm not going to be the first to run and defend him on really anything. He came out, I guess it was during his show yesterday, and was talking about, first and foremost, he's got this weird thing with hats, right? He's got a weird thing with hats, especially hats being worn backwards. And apparently J.J. Redick was wearing a hat backwards while doing the latest episode of his podcast, Mind the Game. And he was doing an interview with LeBron James while wearing a hat backwards. And Colin Cowherd was just kind of going in on it, basically saying a guy that's up for potential NBA head coaching jobs should not be doing a podcast like that, should not be doing a show and interviewing somebody of the stature of LeBron James while wearing a backwards hat. Really? Really? How many athletes come to the podium wearing hats? Have you seen some of the hats Cam Newton came to the podium wearing? And you got a problem with J.J. Redick's hat on backwards? I'm pretty sure at one point Cam Newton came to the press conference with a whole peacock on his head as part of his hat. But we're going to have problems with a backwards hat and say that that's going to keep him from getting a job. I've seen Jason Kidd do press conferences, and LeBron even pointed this out. He posted a picture of Jason Kidd doing a press conference with the Dallas Mavericks as their head coach wearing a backwards hat. I think this is the weirdest thing I've ever heard anybody go after somebody about in the world of sports and say that it could potentially keep them from a job. Oh, he's wearing a hat backwards. Hey, guess what, Colin? Yesterday when I was recording this podcast, I had a hat on backwards. Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, how dare I, right? It's ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. But again, it's Colin Cowherd, so am I surprised? Not really, no. But a backwards hat, unless you're wearing it to the job interview, a backwards hat is not going to keep you from getting a job. And even, look, some coaches could wear a backwards hat. Some coaches could come in wearing one of those inflatable dinosaur costumes you see people wearing at Halloween. Right? If I was interviewing for a head coaching vacancy and Urban Meyer or Nick Saban walked into my office as the AD of a college and they were wearing some ridiculous like Peter Pan Halloween costume or something crazy like that, you know what? They're still getting the job. You want to know why? Because they have a track record of being successful. So J.J. Redick wearing a hat on backwards doing a podcast, not going to hurt him from getting any potential job as a head coach inside the NBA. Come on, Colin. Do better. Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter, Muzuhara, going to be pleading guilty to bank fraud. Yeah, he was originally charged with that one count of bank fraud. He's going to plead guilty to it. That could potentially have him facing up to 30 years in prison. I mean, you swindle $16 million out of somebody's bank account, 30 years. You know what? Maybe it should be more. I don't know. So what is that, about like 2 years per million that he swindled out? Little more, little less than that, somewhere around in there. So, yikes. But it looks like, I mean, with him pleading guilty, looks like we might have a conclusion to that whole situation. So that's at least good, especially for Shohei Ohtani, because, again, you know, jokes will be made whenever this first came out about Shohei Ohtani, and, you know, people, you know, he hits a home run and people are like, oh, I bet he enjoyed doing that. Yeah, jokes are going to be made. But so far, there's been no evidence to prove that he actually had anything to do with the gambling and bet on baseball. So, I think Shohei's probably going to breathe a sigh of relief that this is actually starting to get a little cleared up here. The Houston Astros, staying in the world of baseball right now, they are one of the most talented teams in Major League Baseball, but they are struggling right now. And lots of people, the conversation with them has been, well, what do they do? Do they start looking to trade off players and start trying to kind of rearrange and refocus on, you know, bringing in new guys to kind of help bring fresh energy and fresh blood into the team? And no, you don't do that. You're one of the most talented teams in baseball. Manager Dana Brown kind of just said the same thing after the 10-3 loss to the Yankees the other day. He's like, yeah, no, we're not. That's not on our plan at all. And even Aaron Boone, when asked about it for whatever reason, why you would ask the opposing manager about it, you know. But he's like, nah, they're a talented ball club. They're just in a slump right now. This is baseball. Because they'll get out of it eventually. And I love that he followed that up by saying, hopefully it's not within the next couple of days. They wait till after our series is over, and then they get out of it. I got to tip my hat to him about that. Good little line right there. But I think Aaron Boone is exactly right. It's baseball. No other sport has highs and lows like baseball does. No other sport has dramatic slumps like baseball does. The Astros are not, okay, to compare them to another American League team, the Tampa Bay Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays right now are missing a lot of key arms from their bullpen and their starting rotation, and that is affecting them. Randy Arozarena is in a slump. That is affecting them. Their slow start to the season right now in Tampa has to do mostly with injuries. With the Houston Astros, it's just slumps, right? They're just not playing good baseball right now. And you see that from teams. You can have a team have a period in the season where they don't play good baseball. But as long as the stuff gets clicking and gets going at the right time of the season, they can still go on to win the World Series. That's the great thing about baseball, is it's got highs, it's got lows, and you've got to deal with the lows and weather through the lows in order to get back to the highs. There is no magic cure. There is no slump buster. There is nothing you can do. There is no, let me try putting my socks on the left side, not the right side first. You just got to play through it. You got to fight through it. And the Houston Astros are doing that right now. Eventually, like Aaron Boone said, eventually they will come out of it. And when they do, they'll be annoying everybody who's not a Houston Astros fan because they'll be winning again. And until that happens, they've just got to keep putting their head down, keep going out there each and every night or afternoon and playing baseball the way they know how to. Eventually, it will get better for them. That's the bottom line for the Houston Astros. Just get out there, play your game, keep doing what you do, and eventually the ship will right itself. That's how it works in baseball. No matter what level you're at, that's how it works. Travis Kelce, maybe looking for a potential career after playing. I know he just signed that new 3-year deal with the Kansas City Chiefs, but you know, you got to start thinking about what are you going to do post football. Looks like he's got the acting bug, right? He's now signed on to be part of the cast for American Horror Story: Grotesquerie. I think I said that right. American Horror Story: Grotesquerie. Actress Niecy Nash posted multiple videos on her Instagram page of her and Travis Kelce on the set of the TV show. So it looks like Travis Kelce going to be playing at least some role. No word yet on how big of a role he's going to be playing in the new season of American Horror Story, but he's filming it right now, and I'm excited for it. Look, the guy is funny, right? The guy has everything you need to be an actor, right? He's funny, he's charming, you know, he's got what you need. If he can deliver the lines, look, if Gronk can deliver lines at a roast of Tom Brady the other night, then I think Travis Kelce can pull off acting. That was a cheap shot at Gronk, but, you know, a joke left over from the roast, I guess, maybe you could say. But I think Travis Kelce, I think he could do a good job acting. I could see him acting in stuff, maybe not necessarily as a leading role, you know, as the leading man or anything like that, but, you know, as some comedic relief in like a, you know, movie. Like I could totally see Travis Kelce in like a Ricky Stenicki 2, right? Like if you've watched Ricky Stenicki on Amazon with Zac Efron and John Cena and all those other guys, Andrew Santino, if you watch that, you know what I'm talking about. I could totally see Travis Kelce in a Ricky Stenicki 2 or like a Hangover 4 if they decided to make it. I could see him playing some type of role in those movies and just having fun with it. So maybe Travis Kelce deciding to go the role of the way of acting before getting into TV commentary. I mean, look, Terry Bradshaw did it. Terry Bradshaw, he played Matthew McConaughey's dad in Failure to Launch. He was in several other movies. Does a great job in the comedic roles. And I could see the same for Travis Kelce. So I'm a little surprised it's American Horror Story that he's going to be on. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe it's kind of a comedic role with inside like a dark storyline. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to fit him in. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Something else we got to wait and see on. So who's going to be the most hyped team in the NFL in 2024? Right? I think like last year, I think the Detroit Lions last year were kind of that team. Like, everybody was caught off guard by just how good Detroit was. And I don't think this year they're really going to be as caught off guard by the Lions. I think we're going to expect them to be pretty good, especially after the playoff run that they had. The fact that they didn't really lose any key pieces. If anything, they've added some stuff. So I really do think a lot of people are going to be keeping an eye on Detroit now. It's not going to be that sneaky good team in the NFL anymore. We're going to know what we get when we play Detroit. And I think this year's team, though, is going to be in the South. I think this year's teams that's going to be the surprise team that's going to make the postseason and it's going to surprise everybody with just how good they actually are, the Houston Texans. I know that's not really that big of a stretch, but I do think the Houston Texans are going to be that team that really just kind of knock everybody off their feet with how they play. I mean, you look at what they already had. Obviously, C.J. Stroud is the quarterback. D'Amico Ryan is the head coach. But then through the offseason, they had Stephon Diggs. They had Joe Mixon, Danielle Hunter, D'Anico Autry, and Azeez Al-Shaair. I mean, they continue to add major weapons. And then on top of that, as if they weren't good enough already, especially on the defensive side of the ball, we hear now that J.J. Watt might want to come out of retirement and go back to playing for the Houston Texans. So if they add J.J. Watt, then I think it's going to be very tough. If you're a Titans fan, a Colts fan, or a Jags fan, it's going to be very, very tough to have any kind of success inside that division if that happens. So I think the Houston Texans definitely going to be a pretty good team to keep an eye on for the 2024 season. Jim Harbaugh heading into his first season as the Chargers head coach in the NFL. Take a look at kind of what he's done with this team so far. Kind of showing the shift of him guiding the team into the direction that he wants them to be in. They draft Joe Alt in the first round, and Harbaugh came out and he said, look, I know people are going to have questions about weapons. You know, why didn't you go get a receiver? You need a receiver, because at the time the draft started, they only had four receivers on the entire roster for the Chargers, right? So a lot of people were wondering, are they going to go with the receiver there with the Chargers? They did not. They went offensive line. And he told them, he's like, look, I consider offensive linemen weapons. And that shows you the mindset that Jim Harbaugh has as a head coach. He wants to be physical. He wants to run the football. And I definitely think that's the shift and the change that he is going towards. Now, they did add three receivers later on in the NFL draft. They got Ladd McConkey out of Georgia, Brandon Rice from USC, and, of course, Cornelius Johnson, who played for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. So I definitely think they added some depth there. Whether they added some help there, I don't know. They definitely added depth. But I think you definitely see that shift happening now. Jim Harbaugh taking over this program, and he's taking it over, and he's like, look, we're going to be a physical team. We're going to run it down people's throats. We're going to run first, and we're going to use the run game to open up the pass game. But we are definitely always going to have that run-first mentality. And I think you're starting to see that shift going out there with that first-round pick that's, you know, inside the top 10, and you're taking the first offensive lineman off the board there with Joe Alt. And I think that's a perfect fit for them, not only for the running game, but also the passing game as well, because it's a guy who's going to be able to protect Justin Herbert. And bottom line, whether you want to run the football or throw the football, if you're the Chargers, you've got to have Justin Herbert healthy. Definitely. That's you got to make sure he stays healthy throughout the season. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you have a great Thursday. I will talk to you tomorrow with more of The Glass Half Full, an ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass.